Okay, so we were in the middle of the Gemara and Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara Amud Beis. The last thing we left off with was just a minor point, was that the Gemara seems to go out of its way to insult the Romans, which I suggested as Beis Amud Beis, this was part of a general pattern in Chazal to vilify villains. For educational purposes, it doesn't mean they mean it in pshat. Okay. I gave you the Marzchi, if you want to read it, it's a very nice piece. What I left off last week, and this is why I need Ephraim. Another methodological point.
Do you have another sheet?
I don't have this week's sheet because it doesn't matter. You'll see. The last point I wanted to make from last week's sheet, though, and then we'll move to something new on it, is one of the ways Ephraim. Just wait for this and then get a chair. One of the things that is helpful in understanding the conversation in the Agadata, as we mentioned, right? An Agadata is often a conversation with different voices. Is to be a shtickle academic and to recognize the layering of the Gemara. In this particular case, it's pretty easy because we have a midrash that presents the core of our Gemara, but without any defense of the non-Jews. Right? I gave you at the end here the Tanchuma. If you notice in our Gemara, right, the Gemara has random defenses of the non-Jews. Right? It'll have the narrator saying, but how could you say that about them, right? They did, right, X, Y, and Z. You don't have that in the Midrash. The Midrash is all negative. So Professor Yehuda Brandis points out that our Gemara itself is a conversation because there's the core Midrash that the Gemara is building around, right? And then the Gemara in the Stam is introducing all types of defenses of the non-Jews and is forcing you to have a conversation about it, right? Ephraim's happy. Good, I've given...
You said professor, I don't know. So yeah.
Professor. Okay, but that's something you can look at the Midrash and compare it, and you'll see what I mean. I don't want to weigh on it too much. What I want to focus on today is something different, which is another thing that's important about Agadata is that Agadatas have a purpose, not just a generic purpose, but some Agadatot, it's helpful if you want to understand them to realize that they were written for a specific purpose. So that's what I want to try to figure out about this Agadata. So this Agadata continues, okay? So we were up to the defenses of the Gemara for the non-Jews. But that point, the Gemara then offers a defense, right? As I've mentioned, none of these defenses appear in the Midrash, but it presents a defense that the nation said to God, Omrim Lefana, this is the bottom of Beis Amud Beis. Omrim Lefana, Rabbanu Shalom, Klum Nasatlan of Loki Balnua. God, what are you so hard on us?
Where are you?
It's how many lines down?
It's in the wide lines over here. Like literally halfway through the wide lines, okay?
So he says, the nation said to God, it's not fair that you're holding us liable to not learning the Torah. Did we ever get the Torah? Did you ever offer us the Torah? So what's the next Agadata that the Gemara is going to integrate into this larger Agadata?
Yes.
Every nation.
Yes, right, obviously. It's going to integrate it, right? That's what Agadatas often do, right? Long Agadatas like this integrate things that were originally atomic units, right? Each of these appears independently. Right, the first half of it appears in the Ben Lee, and then the Gemara says, "Of course he did." My boy Paran. So the Gemara asks, "What was God doing in Seir and Paran?" So Rabbi Yochanan Melamed Sheichzira Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kol Uma VeLashon VeLo Kibluha. God went around to every nation, and he said, here's the Torah, and they didn't want it. Atshabai tell Yisrael v'kiblua. And then the Jews took it. Elahachi ka'amri kum kibalnua v'lo kimaynua v'aldaj v'ma ma'ilo tikablua. So the Gemara says, you're right, what God says is you're blamed for not accepting it. So they said, okay, but then we could be punished for not accepting it. Right, so the Gemara says, Elakachom l'fenei rabbanu shalom klum kafiz aleinu har kegiges v'lo kibalnua. And now the Gemara integrates yet a third.
I just can't see.
Okay, now the Gemara introduces a third Agadata, right? Which is the Gemara in Shabbos, which is, did you hold the mountain over our heads and we didn't accept it? Meaning it's not our fault, we didn't accept it. Right, that this teaches us that God held the mountain over our heads and said you have to accept the Torah. So the non-Jews say to God, it's not fair. You didn't coerce us. It's not our fault. So then God changes his tactic and he says, did you keep the Sheva Mitzvos, that you have any right to say you would have kept 613? Did you keep the seven? And then the Gemara goes on, how do we know we didn't keep the seven? And the Gemara tries to prove that. I don't want to go through everything. Each line in this Agadah has a lot of fun. I want to skip down a little bit. So then the Gemara goes back and forth, and then the non-Jews come up with a new attack, which is, okay, look, we tried saying we did good things. We tried saying it wasn't fair you didn't give us the Torah, but then you called us out on that because we didn't keep our own Torah. Fine. What's the next obvious attack?
The Jews didn't either.
Yeah, how do you know the Jews didn't keep... right? You're rewarding the Jews. Who said the Jews keep the Torah? And then the Gemara goes to this fun conversation where he says, well, I'll tell you that the Jews keep the Torah. And they say, God, you can't because... right? You're biased. Right? You're biased. And if you remember the Rajba, right? The Rajba said the point of that Gemara was to prove that God judges fairly. So God says, okay, what about heaven and earth? Right? Heaven and earth will testify. And the Goyim said, no, that's also not right. They can't because heaven and earth are biased. Because the world depends on the Jews keeping the Torah. So they have to say that God, the Jews are keeping the Torah because their existence depends on that too. They're biased. That's Tosfos. Tosfos says, aye, but then how does the world exist? Okay, Kasha. Good. We might come back to details, but I want to get towards the end because the end is the weirdest. Right? So God says to them, I have a better idea. You, the non-Jews, you are going to testify by the Jews that they kept the Torah. And then it throws a laundry list at them of who's going to do it. And he says, Lavan is going to come, and he's going to say that Yaakov kept the Torah, and Nimrod is going to come, right? Literally, this is like taking every Agadah you've ever heard of and throwing it all together, right? Nimrod's going to come to and say, Avram kept the Torah. How do I know? Because I threw him into the pit, right? Lavan's going to come, and he's going to say, Tariag mitzvot shamarti, right? Lavan garti v'tariag mitzvot shamarti. He's going to say that Yaakov kept the Torah, right? Every Agadah you've ever heard of, we throw in together. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah are going to come, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to say they kept the Torah. Bildad, Hashuchi, Vitzofer, Naamasi, Ve'elifaz, Atemani are going to testify. Who are those people? That's great. You've never learned Eov. It's the three interlocutors in Eov. They are going to. So this point, right, stage four, right, so what's the progression of the Gemara? Right, stage one is the non-Jews say,
We were good.
God says, no, you weren't. He says, fine, but you never gave us a chance. God says, yes, I did. Right? They said, okay, but the Jews didn't keep the Torah. Prove it. Right? Prove it. And God says, fine, I'll prove it. So now they say, okay, what's the last thing they can do? What's the last thing? Fourth, right, just structurally, what's the last thing they can do? This is a two-block Gemara. What's the last thing they can do logically? Give us another chance. Okay, we got it. Give us another chance. And this is where the Gemara gets even weirder. It's pretty weird, but this is where it gets weird. So towards the end of Gimel and Aleph, right? So they give up, and they say, Amar lo fan, Ribono shel Olam, tna lanu meirosh v'na'asena. Fine. Give us a chance. And what does God say? Amar lanu kadosh baruch hu shoytim sheba'olam. You idiots. Right? Mishatarach be'erev Shabbos yochel b'Shabbos. You worked on Friday, you can eat on Shabbos. Right? Mishalo tarach b'erev Shabbos mehechan yochel b'Shabbos. You didn't prepare on Erev Shabbos. How are you going to on Shabbos? Right? Meaning, the way the Rashba understood it. Right? Olam haba is the time to get reward. Olam hazeh is the time to do mitzvos. Don't tell me when it's the reckoning. You want another chance. It doesn't work. But then God says, but you know what? I shouldn't do this for you. El af al pichein mitzvah kala yeshli v'sukkah shma. But I got one mitzvah for you. It's called sukkah. It's easy. It's easy.
This is famous.
Yes, it's famous. You want a chance? Good. Go sit in a sukkah. It's easy enough. So Gemara says, Yomiyam says, Amri hachi, how could they do that? V'amri Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Ma'idich seva sharnochi mitzavcha hayom hayom la'asosam, v'lo machar la'asosam, hayom la'asosam, v'lo hayom litel schar. How can you do that? You're only allowed to get reward in this world, in the next world for a mitzvah you did in this world. She says, you're right. If God isn't out to get the people, isn't out to get the creations. So he says, I'll give you another chance. You want another chance? I shouldn't be giving it to you, but I'll give you another chance. Go to the sukkah. V'amai kari le mitzvah kala. Why is it such a good mitzvah? Why is it an easy mitzvah? Why is sukkah so easy? Mishum deles bechich sarnkes, because it costs nothing. Right? Because it costs nothing. You make a sukkah out of whatever you find. Right? Tzchach is nothing. So miyad kolecha v'yechol noto v'holech v'os a sukkah barosh gago. So everybody goes and builds a sukkah on their roof. V'akadosh baruch hu makdir aleim chama b'tkufas tamus. And God brings out the sun, the Middle Eastern sun, as if it was the middle of the summer, 110 degrees, right, schwitzing to death. Because echad ve'echad mivayet b'sukkato v'yotzei, and everybody goes and he kicks the sukkah and he gets out of there. Shneimar nintat kad masusim hashlicham enu avoseimo makdir. The Gemara says, wait, that's not fair. You just gave them one last chance. Right, that's not fair. You said it was going to be easy. You put them out of the sukkah and it's 110 degrees. God isn't out to get his people. Mazeh. She says, look, Yisrael Nami Zimni Dimashkul B'tkufas Tamos Ad Chaga V'Havei Lo Tzaira. He says, look, everyone has this. Sometimes hot. So the Gemara says, that's great. Still, it's not fair. You know why? Because you're putter. Right? It's ridiculous. You're actually putter. Right,
but they kicked it.
Yes, Rama Rava Mitzar about them in Asuka. So Gemara says, "Nihi de Potter." You're right; it's Potter. Beute mi mevate.
They're Potter because they're not Jewish.
No, if you're uncomfortable in your sukkah, you're allowed to leave. So Gemara says, "Not fair." Right, meaning if it's really that hot, so either it's not fair or it is fair. But they're Potter, so why are they getting punished? Because they left. Gemara says they're Potter because they kicked it. Miyad Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Masachek Alehen. So God then laughs at them. Shneimar Yoshev Bashamayim Yitzchok, and then that's the next Agadata, which is very fun, where the Gemara says, does God laugh? Okay, but that's the end of this part of the Agadata. So what happened here? Right? This Gemara is really weird. It's really, really bizarre. Right? Like, it started with eschatological vision. Mashiach, end of days, the nations of the world come for their final reckoning, and it ends with God saying, it's not fair, but I'm going to give you one last chance. I'm going to give you sukkah, and I'm going to mess with your heads, and I'm going to get 110 degrees, which should get you out of sukkah, but you're going to kick the sukkah, and you're going to walk out, and for that, I'm going to laugh at you. Right? It went from like, right, big ideas to like, nitty-gritty of halacha, like, technically, you don't have to sit in the sukkah, because it's too hot, but I'm testing you to see that when you avail yourself of the heter of not sitting in the sukkah, are you going to kick the sukkah? Right? Like, how did we get from point A to point B? So here, Jeffrey Rubinstein has a very nice article from NYU, which I think helps. Like I said, I'm trying to do things in Agadata that will help you understand Agadata in general. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. Okay? And he says, listen, here's the key. Agadata sometimes are randomly teaching you philosophical ideas, but sometimes they were written to inspire people for particular purposes. And he speculates, and I think correctly, and he says, what is this? What was this Gemara?
Polemic.
It wasn't a polemic.
Yes, it was.
It was a... Part of it is polemical. But he said, what was the point of the whole thing? There's a lot of things going on. But he said, what was the point of getting... The beginning was polemical. But he said, what's the point of taking this very deep philosophical agadata and ending with this sort of comical moment?
Right? It's like, in the sense that, like, show that, like, you shouldn't, like, just be so quick to jump out of the thing.
So he says something which I think is very simple. He said, this Gemara was a pre-Sukkis drasha. Right? It was a pre-Sukkis drasha. There was a purpose to it. And that was, as he said, how many of you go into your sukkah, it's hot, it's rainy, there are bugs, right? And you want to leave your sukkah. Right? And maybe you're even allowed to leave your sukkah. How many of you leave the sukkah and when you're really putter, right? Like there are a million bees around. You really are allowed to leave your sukkah. How many of you feel good riddance? I'm going back to my house. It's really where I want to be. I'm looking right there. Right? Thank you. So he says, you know what the point of this whole Agadata was? Because think about it, right? Each part of this Agadata had a deep philosophical message. But, you know, just imagine, right? The guy, the Rosh Yeshiva is getting up there, he's giving a whole beautiful drasha, it's teaching you all these deep philosophical ideas about Schar Va'Onesh, Yemos HaMashiach, and then he ends with this, like, comical scene. What does everybody do sitting there? It's not that they laugh. Who are they laughing at?
Themselves.
Themselves. Everyone knows that it gets hot in the sukkah, they're schwitzing to death, and
they want to get out of there.
They want to get out of there. And what does the point of the Agadata come and say? The difference between you and the non-Jews, so to speak, should be that even when you're putter, you're upset that you're putter and not happy to avail yourself of the kula. I mean, you want to sit in the sukkah. You recognize that there are a lot of kulas wrapped up in the sukkah. But how do you tell people that? If you just tell people, look, don't be so happy, right? Thank you, Chaim and Yuri, for being honest. Or you'll say, look, I like being in my house. But what if you build up this whole story, right? And you personify all of our own Yetzer Haras
as them.
Right? What do? Emotionally, psychologically, what do? You isolate that part of yourself, right? And you project it out them. And what does that allow people to do emotionally?
Think about it.
Emotionally and detach. Right? To say, that's wrong. That's not me. That's them. Right? So, he, I think, very compellingly says that this is part of a Sukkot inspiration. Now, he adds more to this. He says, it's not accidental that they wrap up a Sukkot drasha talking about Mashiach. In Agadah that's talking about Mashiach. Because Sukkot in general is about Mashiach in Chazal's mind. Right? Think about it. Right? You all know this Midrash. You all know this Midrash. That Sukkot is the holiday of who? The nations of the world, because we bring 70 karbanot for the 70 nations, and Shmini Atzeret is for the Jews. Kasha l'pridatchem, right? That I don't want you to leave me, right? So Sukkot is the nation where is the holiday where we think about our relationship and the difference between our relationship and God and the nations of the world. And in Chazal, when Mashiach comes and we're getting schar, where do the tzaddikim sit? Sukkah shel Leviatan, right? And the Sukkah of the Leviatan. So, Sukkot was a time in Chazal's mind where we think about Mashiach. We think about the difference between Jews and non-Jews, right? It's not like this is all one big drasha about Sukkot, but he argues that the end of it is a way of inspiring people to sit in the Sukkah. But Sukkah was also a time where we think about Jews and non-Jews. So how do we do it? By thinking about the themes that are critical to Sukkot. It's a time in Chazal's thought where we think about Mashiach. So, it's a good time as any to come up with an Agadata and think about it. What Chazal are doing is trying to inspire you and make you think about the themes of Sukkot. So, they managed to get in an attempt to emotionally get you to dissociate from your dislike of the Sukkah, right? By making you laugh at yourself, right? Because you're laughing as the non-Jews, but what you're really laughing at is your own Yetzer Hara, that you do the same thing, right? It's telling you that's something you know you shouldn't be doing. But it also gets you to think of all these themes that we wrap up with Sukkot, about Mashiach, and the difference between Jews and non-Jews. Then he does something, and this I think is beautiful, and this really compels me, that this is the point. He says, it's more than that. This particular discussion of Mashiach, this midrash about Mashiach, is the perfect lesson for Sukkot. Why? And this is beautiful. I think this is brilliant.
Talks about Sukkot.
No, at the end. But why is the beginning of it wrapped up with that? So listen to this. I think this is a very good part. You can disagree, but I think it's a very good part. How does the Gemara start? Remember the Gemara all the way to the beginning. How did it start? The beginning of the Gemara is about what? It's about what? It's about the non-Jews coming and saying, we are so great. We built marketplaces, we built roads, we built bridges, we built all that stuff. And God says, it's not important. It's not important. What is the mitzvah that epitomizes the opposite of all of that? The sukkah. Right, he said, yeah, very good, right? I'm glad you figured that one out. Right, he says, look, like, think about what the Gemara is doing. It's saying the pride of the non-Jewish world is that they build permanent structures, that they see value in culture, in architecture, in infrastructure. And what is the point of the Gemara come to say? That's not important. What's important is mi yagid zot. Who learned Torah? Who is committed to God? We also care about infrastructure. We have the Beit HaMikdash. We care about beautiful things. But we have one mitzvah a year whose fundamental goal is to teach us that none of that is really important. What's important is God. And that's Sukkis. So Rubenstein argues that's exactly what's going on in the Gemara. The Gemara took this Agadata about God conversing with the nation of the world, who said, look, how can you say that we didn't do important things? We built houses, infrastructure, architecture. And God says, that's not important. Mi yagid zot. And they say, okay. Right? So we have four stages in the Gemara. Right? First they say, fine, you're right, we weren't righteous, neither were the Jews. And God says, not true, they were. Prove it. Okay, I'll prove it. Fine, fine, fine. Give us another chance. And God says, I'll give you another chance. You know what the chance is? Show that you can internalize the value of a mitzvah that's the opposite of everything you stand for. Right? It's not about buildings. It's not about, it's by definition arai. Right? It's not your marketplaces. It's not your bridges. It's not your building. It's none of that. It's your sukkah. Value it. And they can't, right? They go out. They run out, right? As he says, why is it a mitzvah kala? Shein bo chisaron kis. Costs nothing, as opposed to everything else, which costs a fortune. I mean, what are they saying? The Gemara is saying, they invest and they invest and they invest in building up society. And God says, I don't care how much you invest. I want you to do a mitzvah, she'ein mo chisaron kis. And then the Gemara says, but it's even easier than that. Because if it's hard, you can leave. And the Gemara says, you're right. Leave. But when you leave, don't kick it. Recognize the beauty of the fact that God doesn't care about the structure. That He didn't even want you to stay there if it's uncomfortable. God gave you a mitzvah. What does God want you to do? He wants you to live in a hut, which is easy to build, costs you nothing, and if it's uncomfortable, so go in. Right? It's only if you're comfortable do you have to stay there. It's the easiest mitzvah in the whole wide world. Right? But why is it valuable? Because it's valuable because it's a chance for us to, as the rabbi of my shul likes saying, every other year in my parents' shul, right? Sukkah teaches you that the only things that are really important in life are the things that you can fit with you in your sukkah, right? That's essentially in a vort, right? What sukkah is about? What?
Tables and chairs.
Really, your family and whatever. It's a vort. It's not a point. So therefore, he says that what this Gemara is, right? And again, I think this is something important to think about: is that Agadatot sometimes were written not to be spoken, but sometimes they were probably homilies. Like they were actually, they took Agadatot, but they were meant for a particular purpose. And what Rubenstein argues is that this particular Agadata said, look, Sukkot is a time where we think about the difference between us and non-Jews. Sukkot is a time where we think about Mashiach. Right? So let's take serious Agadatot that talk about the nature of reward and punishment, the nature of Mashiach, the nature of the Jews and non-Jews. And let's wrap it up in a Sukkah Agadata, because that's when you want to think about it. And then he also notes, and this is another thing to think about in Agadata, when you want to inspire people, I know again, this is against everything you've been taught, right? Sometimes it's important to get them to laugh, to be a little bit funny and ironic and get them to laugh, especially at themselves. Right? So he says, build everything up, and then at the end, what does it do? It puts in this humorous section, which is, it is funny. Right? We all laugh at ourselves in it, because we all know that we do that sometimes. Right? And they, so Chazal take it, and they give us a chance to laugh at ourselves, and to see ourselves personified, the worst of ourselves, personified as them, the outside, the non-Jews. And together, there's a Gadot that was supposed to inspire people to think about the big ideas of circus, right? Mashiach, Jews versus non-Jews, and to, in a healthy, self-deprivating way, laugh at their own problems with sukkah, so that next time they leave the sukkah because it's too hot or there's too many bees, either they'll decide not to leave, or even if they decide to leave, they won't be so happy leaving, right? They'll recognize that it's an incredible thing that we have a mitzvah of sukkah, which is a mitzvah, shein bo chitzar and kith, that it's so easy to do, that God only wants us to do if we're comfortable, right? So that's what I want you to think about in this Agadata, is that in general, if you want to understand Agadata, right, it's helpful sometimes to think, why was this compiled in the way it was, right? Sometimes, right, again, this doesn't negate what we've said the last 2 weeks. It doesn't negate that there's deep philosophical things involved in it. But something can be both deep and philosophical and universal, and also be meant to be local and inspirational, right? And it also reminds you that there's a value to humor and inspiration, and that's important, right? Sometimes being able to laugh at ourselves in a non-threatening way is the best way to give somebody muster. Right? Chazal do it, and we should be able to do it a little bit. Okay? So those are two sort of methodological points I think worth thinking about in this Agadata. And also, I think it wraps up, because you really do got to ask, what is this two-blot Agadata, right? Why are you taking, 10 famous Agadatas and throwing them together, right? Remember, we have Agadata, which stood by itself, which is Jews versus non-Jews in the time of Mashiach, right? We have the God asking the non-Jews if they want Torah, which is a separate Agadata. We have Avram in the Kivshana Ish, Yaakov in Lavan's house, Hanan and Mishael Vazariah, Eov, all wrapped up together, right? All being thrown together. You got to wonder, not just each thing, what is it teaching you, but why is this all put together? And part of it is just to realize, because Agadata were sometimes put together for educational, inspirational purposes. Okay? Good. That's some things to think about in a truncated version, because we got to dive in Mincha.